Matthew chapter 26 today, bring you some word. Matthew chapter 26. I want us to watch our Lord. It dawned on me in my pursuit of walking with the Lord. It dawned on me that we really need to study Jesus. That everything he did was significant. It was perfect. It was exemplary. And I want to encourage you too, you that, and I hope you are, read your Bibles. You need a little notebook where you can take notes once in a while. And if a scripture is illuminated to you, you see a truth, write it down. And then you go back and you can be encouraged by those little illuminations, those moments of enlightenment. And keep a spiritual diary. I've never been one to keep a diary on, you know, what I did for the day. I haven't done that. It hadn't been all that exciting. I didn't think it would be a bestseller at all. But I do want to keep a diary of the little understandings of the Lord. One of these that I have today, I was going to speak on something else, and just this morning, just as I was awakening, this thought came to me. It's what trumped whatever I was thinking about doing. And so I hope God's blessing upon it. Matthew chapter 26, verse 57 through verse 67. It reads this, "And those who had laid hold of Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. But Peter followed at a distance to the high priest's courtyard, and he went in and sat with the servants to see the end. Now the chief priests, the elders, and all the council sought false testimony against Jesus to put him to death, but found none, even though many false witnesses came forward. They found none. But at last, two false witnesses came forward." That's really something when you can't find good liars, you know. Usually they're pretty easy to find, you know. They found two liars, you know. Two people that were willing to be brazen enough to lie about Jesus, okay. "And said," this fellow said, "I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days. And the high priest arose and said to him, 'Do you answer nothing? What is it that these men testify against you?' But Jesus kept silent. And the high priest answered and said to him, 'I put you under oath by the living God. Tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God.' Jesus said to him, 'It is at you as you said. Nevertheless, I say to you, hereafter, you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power and coming on the clouds of heaven.' Then the high priest tore his clothes, saying, 'He has spoken blasphemy. What further need we of witnesses? Look, now you have heard his blasphemy. What do you think?' And they answered and said, 'He is deserving of death.' And they spat in his face and beat him. And others struck him with the palms of their hands, saying, 'Prophesy to us, Christ, who is the one who struck you?'" There we have the reading of the word. Jesus, at the moment bearing his cross, Jesus did bear his cross, didn't he? He turned it into something more than a cross. And I am just amazed that I look at this story, how Jesus, like a lamb to the slaughter, open not his mouth, even when he is falsely accused. I suppose one of the hardest things is to be lied about, to be falsely accused. None of us would like that. You'd like to straighten the record, wouldn't you? But Jesus didn't. He stood there silently like a lamb. And it was so perplexing that he wouldn't defend himself, that he wouldn't say anything. The high priest finally is so aggravated at Jesus' silence that he puts him under oath, or whatever it was, by the living God. You know, he's calling heaven, "You got to say something, sir. You got to defend yourself." And the accusation is that, Tell us, are you the Christ? And you know, he wouldn't deny it, did he? You know, if there's any moment you wanted to retract and be intimidated, it could have been that. You're surrounded, you're in trial, and all these soldiers around, all the crowd is looking at you with darts, as it were, in their eyes. And are you the Christ? And he just simply says, it is as you say. You know, I think there's a lot to learn about bearing our cross. And sometimes it's good to be silent, isn't it? Even when you're being abused and things are wrong, he said he committed himself to God. He committed himself to God. God, you know what's going on. You know this is all part of your plan. This is all part of what's supposed to happen. And I'm just going to silently bear it. But in the midst of it all, he speaks these words. It is that you said. And then he projects something. He said, nevertheless, hereafter, the next time you see me, it's not going to be like this. And what amazed me was that Jesus projected victory in the midst of what looked like absolute defeat. You see, evil has to be confronted. And Jesus is the captain of our salvation. And he confronted the devil. He confronted hierarchy. He confronted false religion. He confronted all these things. He stood there in the midst of it and let them do their worst. Because God's love and God's power would be demonstrated. The Bible says God demonstrated his love while we were sinners. And this is the great demonstration of God's love. You know, it's the battle first, then the victory. Huh? It's the flesh, and then it's the spirit. It's the world versus heaven. It's death versus life. It's the scattered flock versus a mighty army. The cross comes before the crown. Okay? And Jesus understood that. I don't know that we understand that, and I hope we can get a perspective here today to realize there is a cross to be carried. That Jesus, I think everyone has a cross, it's just who you're following. Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me. And it's important that we do that, that we learn from him to live through the difficulties and the things that we also are faced with. Amen. And so in the most trying hour of his life, he made a declaration of victory. And it so aggravated them. You talk about really putting gas on the fire. To say, the next time you see me, I'll be coming in clouds of glory. I'll be arrayed in power and glory. Oh, blasphemy, blasphemy. You know, they rip their clothes and then they start to slap. Then they really go into a rage. And of course, you know, they took our precious Lord and they nailed him to the cross. And but you know, I was reading the book of Revelations. I've been in the book of Revelations reading. In the first chapter of the book of Revelations, it says this, that verse 7, behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him. Woo! And all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. Look out, this Jesus is coming again. And you know, I think what really bugged him too was to hear about his resurrection was not comforting to them. Because 3 days later, not everybody saw him. The Bible says witnesses ordained by God. God knew who needed to see him. Those that loved him needed to see him. Those that were weeping for him needed to see him. And can you imagine to seeing Jesus in his resurrected form, how that would transform your entire thought life? how that would lift you out of the despondency, whatever you thought was, as Peter, he went to see the end. It wasn't even the end. It was the beginning, wasn't it? And how Peter was comforted to see Jesus alive from the dead, standing there victorious, and he ascends up into heaven, and he has all authority and all power and glory and dominion. And they went out into the streets and they preached Jesus alive. He's not dead on that cross. He's alive. Can you imagine the dilemma of these people that thought they had finished Jesus off, but no, they had not. They had only magnified him by putting him to the cross, and he was now glorified, and he was Lord and God and all of that. And you can imagine the dismay it brought to them. But the world will never be the same. Never be the same because Jesus rose from the dead. The cross and then the crown. And what faith that inspires. And I hope we're inspired today as we look at Jesus. And I hope what the essence of this message today is, what do you say in your darkest hour? Can you, like Job, say, my Redeemer lives? Can you say, when I come through this, I will be like pure gold? Amen. Yes. As I read the book of Revelation, I see first there's the conflict. The book of Revelation is an interesting book because it's got all kinds of dynamics going on. There's a conflict. Someone described it as seven conflicts. There's a conflict within the church. There's a conflict of persecution of the church. There's a conflict of heaven, the conflict in the heavens of spiritual forces that fight. There's conflict of nations rising against nations and world empires rising up out of the sea and out of the land. And there's all this dynamic of conflict after conflict. Also, there's the Antichrist. There's the Antichrist spirit, right? It's out there. There's a false religion out there. There really is. Satan likes to copy what God does for the sake of deception. And there's false prophets. There's all kinds of conflict going on. But the beauty of the book of Revelations is that Jesus triumphs in all of it. Though it looks like it's the end, like it was when Peter stood in the high priest's courtyard. No, it was not the end. He always comes out on top. The church, the called, the chosen, and the faithful, they are in conflict. We're in a battle, folks. We really are. Yeah, I don't know about you, but February just seemed like a little heavy with problems. Not my own. I thank God for that, but I've been exposed to a lot of things that are heavy. They're sad. And I think of God's people around the world. Here we are in this great country where we have religious freedom, but we got folks that are tucked over in some corner somewhere and having to sing their praises rather in a low tone and wondering if there's not going to be a knock on the door. And here we are. We are really blessed. But we are in the midst of this world conflict, this spiritual battle that we are a part of. And we, the church has been persecuted. It's been martyred. Sometimes you need to read Fox's Book of Martyrs. We got in the library. You just need to read it once in a while to realize how many people have laid down their life for their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The church has been bloodied. The church has been driven into the wilderness. It's almost gone extinct at times, and then it comes back again. But in spite of all these things, the church is triumphant. And if you read the end, I like what somebody said, I like reading the end of the book. Right? Sometimes, anybody ever cheat when you read books? Yeah, I never was a great reader, so how's this all going to end up? So I'll go to the back, I'll read the last chapter, okay? Yeah. And you need to do that. You need to go to the last chapter and realize, oh, here he comes riding on a white horse. Amen. And there's an army behind him, and they're his people. And here come the redeemed. Here come the angels, and everything just dissolves in front of them. And there's a great triumph. And the old devil himself is thrown into the lake of fire, and the false prophet into the fire, and all the world empires into the fire to perish forever and ever. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. What a wonderful, happy ending that we have. And you know, the promise is, and I don't think we grasp this, that if we suffer with him, we're going to reign with him. That we're a part of that victory. You know, you may not feel like it. February the 9th, and you know, we've had snow and wind and cold, and we've shoveled snow in our back sore, and our lumbago's bothering us, you know, and things are not what it ought to be. But, you know, lumbago, have we used that word anymore? You know what I'm talking about. Okay? Well, here's our present situation. I don't need to remind you of this, but there is no one here that has a ideal life at this moment. No one. Living in this world has its troubles. Jesus said, in the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. You know how you can really get the devil mad? Speak positive in the midst of difficulty. He'll go blasphemy, you know, like the high priest. But to be of good cheer, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our salvation. Isn't he? He's the one that inspires me, right? It's not just positive mental thinking, trying to gender up some kind of thought process in my mind. But he's already done it. He's gone ahead of me, and he is signaling to me to pick up my cross and follow him to that desired end. Amen. You want to beware of a victim mentality. You want to beware of, oh, poor little me. Nobody likes me. And mommy hurt me, and daddy hurt me, and I'll never be the same. And nobody, you know, and we can get into this whiny little atmosphere of poor little me. You want to be careful about that, because that can bring you down. Satan will take advantage of that. But if you can realize, yes, I got problems. I got a cross on my back. I do. Things are not ideal. There's sorrow. There's trouble. But I have the strength of the Almighty in me to carry this cross. And I can do it with the help of the Lord. And I will do it. And I will exchange it for a crown. Amen. Amen. You know, the gospel gives you opportunities, gives you an option. Amen. To move on. Not to stay where you're at, but to move on. To follow Jesus, looking to Jesus. You know, sometimes you can be encouraged by looking back sometimes, right? I asked, we had a 1st of January, I asked the gentleman in the New Start program, I said, where were you a year ago? Oh boy, did we hear some stories. What a difference 1 year makes, looking back. Yeah, oh my. And you need to do that. You need to look back just enough to say, I may not be what I ought to be, but thank God I'm not what I used to be. Amen? Amen. Praise God, and to see the progress. And then the question comes up, what would you like to look like in the future? And I'm not just talking about you, but what do you forecast about your future? Is it good or is it bad? You know, in Christ, it has to be good. For all things work together for good to those that love God and are the called according to his purpose. I can't imagine how it could be bad. Do you understand what I'm saying today? I hope you can. What do you want the future to look like? Do you want it to look like what Jesus has proposed in his word? Amen. Amen. We sang an old song. I love it. It's called Victory in Jesus. I heard an old story about how a Savior came from glory. How he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, his precious blood atoning. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and He bought me with His redeeming love. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is due Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Praise God. You know what? You need the Holy Spirit. You need a new spirit to operate, to help you think, to help you feel. You need the Holy Spirit to open your eyes that you might see what it really is out there, what God has for you. We did a little card for the soldier boys, and I didn't know what to write. I knew sometimes when you get a card, you just go blank, don't know, sign my name, forget it, you know. But I felt like I needed to say something, especially my grandson that's in the basic training down there in San Antonio. And I said, Brock, tough times don't last, but tough people do. Amen. Amen. And tough times don't last. Look at the sunshine out there. Amen. The clouds don't always stay around, do they? But oh, they can weigh us down and they can make us feel really sad. But Jesus comes to turn our grief into joy. Amen. To erase all the negative images. Anybody here got negative images that just haunt you? You need to get rid of those. I just want to share something, because God wants to give you a hope and a future. And we've all had negative images. I'll tell you a couple of mine. My only sister died when I was 3 years old, and the only pictures I have of her and I were sitting on the piano bench. She was teaching me to play the piano. And the other picture I have of her, she was in a hospital bed, and it was her last days, and there's a picture of me standing there by the hospital bed, and she died just a few days after that picture. And I had this sad image of my emaciated sister, 13 years old, sad, sad, sad. And I used to walk out to the cemetery and stand by her grave. And it was a loss type sad thing in my life. My only face, I'm the youngest, and when my brothers would pick on me, you know, all my big brothers, I would say, I wish my sister was here. She'd get you, you know. And so there was that sad image. And I'll never forget one time Cheryl went up to be with her folks. We were living in Oregon at the time. And I had a dream. And I had a dream that I saw my sister. And she wasn't emaciated anymore. She was beautiful, alive, glowing. And I saw her in that. And it was just wiped that other thing out. Wow. And so that's my image that I live with. I got to tell you another story. I have a brother. His name was Raymond. Raymond was special. Raymond was a twin. They were both damaged. And Raymond had lived at home, never worked. He was 48 years old when the bottom fell out from his life. He had never been around anybody but mom and dad. And they did everything for him. Even though he was capable of doing more, he hid behind them. Tell you more sad stories about that, how he was beaten by a teacher and kicked out of school, and it was sad, really. Raymond, he wasn't a trouble. He was just very shy, but Raymond was afraid of everything, and all of a sudden, Mom went to the rest home, and Dad dropped dead out hunting, and here was Raymond. Never made a purchase, never made a phone call. And so they said, well, my brothers voted me. You got to take care of him. Well, and I didn't mind. We brought him down here to Pocatello, and I didn't have room in the house. Had our kids all here. So we put him in a camper, and it was winter time. Had him right out in the backyard. It would be so cold, the propane would freeze, and I'd have to go break the ice on the door to get him out. And, you know, and I remember it. I thought, this is heavy. This is heavy. This is not good. And Raymond's still grieving. He's just lost. Mom and Dad, everything's gone. I don't know what to do. And I don't know what to do. What do you do with a 48-year-old man? And here I am in my 20s, you know, and maybe 30 at the time, not quite. And I thought, this is heavy. This is heavy. And I'll never forget. One morning, Raymond came in to the house. He said, I saw Daddy last night. I said, oh, yeah. I saw Daddy. He looked at me. He had his little hat on, and he smiled, and he waved at me. He said, you're going to be all right, Raymond. And from there on, things changed. Raymond lived by himself for 20 years. Sometimes the negative has to give way to the positive. You understand what I'm saying? And some of you are living with a negative image of broken home or broken relationships. And you need to see something else with the help of God. Here's what the scripture says, and I'm ending. Right now, here we are, less than ideal, a broken world. But the scripture says, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. But we see Jesus. Do you see him today? But we see Jesus. And that changes everything. Amen. Whatever's wrong in your life, leave it behind. Just keep moving for keep going forward. It doesn't matter anymore. There's so much ahead of us. Praise God. Let's stand, shall we? Amen. I want us in conclusion to sing this song. Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus, to reach out and touch him and say that we love him. For a moment, let's just turn our eyes to the Lord and just draw that inspiration. Amen. Everything's all right. He's seated on the throne. Everything's all right. It's better than you think it is. Amen. Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus, to reach out and touch him, and say that we love him. Open our ears, Lord, and help us to listen. Open our eyes, Lord, we want to see Jesus. Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus, to reach out and touch him, and say that we love him. Open our ears, Lord, and help us to listen. Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus. Do you? Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus, to reach out and touch him, and say that we love him. Open our ears, Lord, and help us to listen. Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus. I was helping a young lady this past week that went through a difficulty. And I'd just been reading my Bible before the phone call came and said, you need to see this young lady. You need to help her. And her life had just been a negative, and something tragic had just happened. And I'd just been reading in the scriptures where David said, may my prayer come up before you as incense, and the lifting of my hands as the evening sacrifice. And then I read Solomon as he was dedicating that great temple. Said he got down on his knees and he spread out his hands to heaven. And he began to pray. And as he prayed, he said, now Lord, when anyone comes to this place and they lift up their hands to you. Lifting up hands. So I took this young lady to where she needed to be and provided some accommodations for her. I told her, I said, Teresa, your life's a big mess. Would you do something for me? I said, when you lie down tonight, will you look up and will you lift your hands? And will you just say, Jesus? Teresa, I don't know what else to do. I can provide you a motel room, provide you some food, but those aren't the answers. Those aren't the answers. Jesus is the answer. So as we conclude today, if you feel like you could or would, you can just raise your hands and we'll just look to the Lord. Lord, we love you. Yes, Lord, we want to see you. We need you more than our tongue can tell. Lord, you're our answer. You're the answer for this world. You're the answer for this city. You're the answer for the jails and for the broken homes and the children. And you're the answer for the schools. You're the answer for our nation, Lord. And we just spread out our hands to you, Lord, praying this large prayer, Lord, just because you're a wonderful Savior. You're seated on the right hand of power. All power and authority is given to you, Lord. And we invoke your name upon this audience today, upon this city, upon our lives, upon our bodies, upon whatever is going on. Grant strength to your people, Lord. Grant strength to your people to carry their cross and to carry it well and to hear you say, well done, you did it. I'm going to give you a crown of life. Thank you, Lord. We bless you. We bless you. We praise you. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Blessed be your name, both now and forever. Hallelujah. Amen.